Blog Talk Radio.
To our listening audience and guests, welcome to our Sunday broadcast show, The Reality of the Creator. I am your host, Isla Abdullah, and your host speaker is Imam Shahid Shabazz. We have an exciting show for you today. We are expecting some teenagers to call in who would like to express their views on religion, God, and the world that we live in. So we will be glad to have them come aboard. First, I would like to give to you a word or two about our host, Imam Shahid Shabazz. For nearly 40 years, Imam Shahid Shabazz has traveled throughout parts of the South and Northeast areas of the United States distributing his merchandise and speaking the word of God. Teachings and words of inspiration have been a solace and encouragement for countless people. He is strongly committed and very serious about his commitment to dedicating his life in service to his Creator through his outreach ministry and community service work. He gives consistently of his time and personal charity to those seeking his help, and the number is increasing daily. He is usually a lone traveler on his journey in the service of humanity. He says, in order to gain heaven, you have to call all the people to God. He took his brother's suggestion and started making CDs to distribute to those seeking spiritual guidance. The request for his CDs has grown so that it has placed him in a financial strain trying to produce them. He is now spreading the word by way of Blog Talk Radio. Let us join him now in his today's discussion. Imam Shahid Shabazz.
Thank you very much, my beautiful co-host and wife, spiritual wife, soulmate. Greetings to all of you all this morning, my listening audience, our listening audience. This greetings is in the beautiful Quran, Arabic language. The Quran is the final revelations of Almighty God to all mankind. And this language that I'm about to speak to greet you is in the Arabic language of the Quran. Assalamu alaikum, it means peace be unto you all. And I wish peace for all of you all. And I wish God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven for all of you all, for all mankind. Today, the topic we want to talk on in particular is the title of it is The African-American People, the Sleeping Giant. I chose this topic during this particular month because this is the month that they acknowledge or celebrate Black History Month. Now, first, be patient with me if you will. I want to speak on that just a little bit before we take any callers. I want to speak on Black History a little bit. First of all, everybody that migrates to the United States of America, including the European, they don't forget where they come from. The Europeans came from Europe. They migrated to America. The Chinese came from China. They migrated to America. And so on. And we see that all these ethnic groups, when they come to the United States of America, what makes this country so great, the greatest country in the world, it allows every group, ethnic group that come here, the freedom to succeed and to excel. And it does not oppress women. It does not oppress children. Women have an opportunity in this country to excel if they have the same abilities as a man. They are given the right here to achieve the success of a man. And that's what I love about the United States of America. It do give you equal opportunity if you're willing to work. If you're willing to work, and you're willing to use the God-given talents God has given you, Almighty God has given you, and you have faith and trust in your Creator, you can achieve in America what you cannot achieve in other nations throughout the world. No other nation in the world is like the United States of America because of the diversity and the diversity giving every ethnic group an opportunity to achieve success. But there's one catch to that. You must have unity. I hope you all can hear me good. I pray you can. But unity is the key. And see, in order to have unity as a people, the African-American people, we must do as all these other ethnic groups do. We must go back to our roots and find out how we were as a people before we were brought to the United States as slaves. See, you got a lot of African-American people trying to imitate the Caucasian people, the European people, and they act like the European people history is their history, but that's not true. Our history is a history in a place called Africa, and our history in being in America is the history of slaves, not the history of free people. And even today, as a people, we may not have the shackles of slavery on our feet, but we certainly, as a people, you can see it with our conditions, have the shackles of slavery in our psychology or in our mind. And it's keeping us divided. That was the plan of slavery anyway when we were brought here over 500 years ago, to divide us as a people and conquer us as a people. So what do conquer really mean? It meant to conquer us so that we would be a commodity. There was one queen of England, Queen Elizabeth II, that was the mother's daughter, and she was talking to one of her ambassadors to come to America. During that time, I think the Civil War was going on, and the North and the South here in America, the United States of America, was fighting. One wanted to free the slaves, and one didn't want to free the slaves. I think the South didn't want the slaves to be free, and the North say, free the slaves. And so they went to war. And the Queen Elizabeth II told her ambassador to come back to America and tell the American government at that time to tell them to stop fighting each other and realize that the slaves, the American Negro, a so-called black man and woman, we were nothing but their commodities, like a product. You sell, I work for myself. I have product. So we are nothing, considered to be nothing but a product, a commodity to the United States of America. And she said that the slaves must never go free. That's what this lady said almost 200 years ago. The slaves, the black man and woman of America must never go free. We're nothing but a commodity. And if they free us, then they'll be losing commodity or money or material gain. So we have to understand the psychology of slavery before we can advance as a people, African-American people. And we have to understand that our psychology is made up of European ideology and theology. They've taught us for over 500 years how to be good slaves. Now, we want to be free. We can't look for the same people that brought us here and put us in slavery to use us only to build up America for themselves to free us. If we're going to be free, we got to free ourselves. And it begins with a new thinking. We have to go back and study history and find out the dynamics of slavery, what it did to our mentality, our psychology. And then we can begin to undo what slave mentality has did to us African-American people as a people, to cause us to dislike each other. We hate ourselves. We want to be like other people. We want to be accepted, especially by European people, but we won't accept ourselves. How can anybody respect you if you don't have self-respect? So as a people, we lost our dignity and self-respect through slave mentality. It's no accident. Yesterday I was out doing missionary work, dawah as we call it in Islam, which means to God and spread the word of Almighty God, to call the people back to the remembrance of God. And one man was saying, the African-American youth and people, they're so crazy, they're so messed up in the head. And I just listened at him, and I, in deep thought, I was waiting on Almighty God, Allah, to give me a message for him. And he did, and he told me to tell the man, listen, We cannot help our people overcome the conditions of slave mentality by condemning them. We have to start being patient with them and show them love. Show them love. That's the biggest key to us overcoming slavery. We have to go back to the remembrance of God, Almighty God. Why? Because Almighty God is love. And Almighty God, there's a saying, his love, it conquers all. So if we want to overcome slavery, let's go back to the remembrance of our Creator, the one that brought us through slavery, the one that brought us through all these hard times we have suffered here under slave conditions and that we're suffering right now. And if you study history, it's best to reward all research. And no people ever overcame slavery and oppressive government or rulership except that God sent them messengers and prophets and men, righteous men to them to call them back to God. And when they came back to God, then God blessed them to overcome the oppressors. He destroyed the oppressors. If they didn't want to free his people, he destroyed them like he did with Pharaoh during the time of Prophet Moses, peace be upon him. And he sent Moses and Aaron down in Egypt to free his people. We are like that today. We have many leaders that come to us trying to free us. I'll name a few of them this month of black history. Frederick Douglass, Sojourner Truth, Harriet Tubman, Marcus Garvey, Noble Drew Ali, Elijah Muhammad, Walt Eugene Muhammad, Malcolm X, A.K. Malcolm X, El Hajj Malik Shabazz, Minister Farrakhan, and many, many other people, men, have came here to the shores of this America, well, really, where some came and some were born here, like myself and some others I call, and they have been calling the people, our people, back to collective consciousness, collective unity of thinking, thinking as one people, and stop thinking as individuals. That's what slavery did to us. It caused us to think as individuals and to get us away from that unity, spirit of unity we had before we were brought to America in Africa. We had a spirit of unity so strong that we said that it take a whole village just to raise one child. So I want us to understand this as we go into this talk today. It's going to take all our efforts as African-American people to come together, to unite, and put our little petty differences aside and realize that look at all the other people prospering around us, the Spanish people, European, Chinese, Italian, and all of these people are working together. And we can do the same thing, but we have got to stop accepting that slavery is over and realize slavery is not over. Slavery is what's keeping us divided. It's our thinking. It's that slave mentality we have of thinking that as individuals, I'm going to get mine, you get yours. Other people are not successful thinking like that. They think as one. We're one unit, and the only way we're going to overcome this is as one. And I want to say this before I let a caller come on, my wife bring on a caller. The Jewish people, they was almost exterminated by Hitler. And almost killed, exterminated like the dinosaurs. And those people said, we are so few now after Hitler almost killed all of those people. They said the only way we can ever rise up again in the world, we got to unite and stay united. And under all circumstances, stay united. And now the Jews is one of the wealthiest group of people on the planet, and yet they are the smallest minority in the human race. They own most of all of the natural resources on the planet Earth today. That shows the power of unity. I'm through at this time. If my co-host, my beautiful wife, want to bring on a listener for questions or comments or even disagreements, we welcome that. You have it at this time.
Thank you, Imam Shahid Shabazz. We do have some listeners I see in the audience who would like to express themselves or make a comment. I will now bring on a listener, could you give us your name and tell us where you're calling from, please? The phone number is 202-702-4997. If you can hear me, could you give us your name and tell us where you're calling from? Okay, that listener obviously didn't want to answer questions. Let's see, we have another one. The teenagers, I suppose, haven't come on yet. I don't see any numbers regarding them. So we'll see if we have another listener who would like to speak. It is not necessary for you to express yourself, but if there is a comment that you would like to make, we'll be glad to hear from you. Comment, we have another listener, 202-635-2279. If there's a comment, a question that you would have, we would love to hear from you. Give us your name and tell us where you're calling from. Okay, so it seems like everyone just wants to listen today. So far, we were expecting some teenagers to come on, but I see them online here. So if they are on, if there are any teenagers out there in the listening audience, would you please press 1 to talk? In order to talk and express yourself and make comments, you must press number 1 on your phone. So if you have anything to say or would like to make a comment, this is your day. You would express that you would love to come on and talk. We are here waiting for you. We'd love to hear from you. Press the number 1, please, and we'd be glad to hear from you. So far, Imam Shahid, there doesn't seem to be anyone who would like to comment at this time. Perhaps a little later on, we'll have some comments. But Imam Shahid is giving a wonderful talk today. This is Black History Month, and we must be aware of the circumstances that led to even us having this Black History Month when there shouldn't be a Black History Month. It should have been included all along. We should have known our history all along. And unfortunately, they had to take a month out of the year to teach us about ourselves, who we are, and where we are from. And we only get a little bit of that. We are learning each day that there's more and more and more, so much more to our history. And it is so beautiful. So, therefore, we have two other callers here that have come online. They would like to speak, have a word to say, a comment to make. They just came on, but we will definitely see if they would like to give us a word or two. Can you hear me? We have you online now. Listeners from phone number 678, could you give us your name and tell us where you're calling from, if you would like to comment or ask a question? That's not necessary, but if you would like to comment or ask a question, push the number 1 on your phone, and we can hear you. Otherwise, we appreciate you coming on and listening. Thank you for your time, and we pray that we will give you some information that you can carry with you and spread to others, and it will help us to, as a people, to become closer together and more united with one another. Another listener here is a 202-423 number. If you would like to speak, I have a question. Give us your name and tell us where you're calling from. So far, everyone just wants to listen in. At any point, at any time, push the number 1 if you would like to say something. And we would love to hear from you. We need comments from you. This is your show. So we're asking the listeners to please, if you have anything to say, any comments at all, please speak up, give us your name, and tell us where you're calling from. Otherwise, enjoy the program and listen as we continue our speech with Imam Shahid Shabazz. And today's speech is the African-American people, the sleeping giants. All right, and now, Shabazz, you may continue to talk.
Hello. Hello. Hello, ma'am.
Yes. We have a listener. Give us your name, please.
Hello. My name is Karen. I'm calling from Virginia.
All right, and now, Shabazz, we have Ms. Karen. She's calling from Virginia. All right, Ms. Karen, we'd love to hear from you, comments or questions.
Yes, hello. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, ma'am. We thank you for participating in our show today. And when I say our, I mean all of us, because we are all one, irregardless of our race, color. We are all still one when you deal with the soul. So thank you, and Please proceed.
Yes, thank you. I would like to for you to comment on people who may not have had certain good role models in their life. I'm a mentor for a youth program, and there's some children that may not have had both parents in the home, or may have been unprivileged children in certain areas. But I just want them to know that there are people who really care for them, and their parents may care for them. They may not have the best parenting skills, but I'd like for you to reach out to the parents as well as the children to let them know the best manner that they can excel to be the best human beings they can, regardless of where they are, and that they can show love and show care to their children and give them guidance to those who may can help them, even if they can't help them.
Yes, ma'am. That's a good question, and I would like to address that in this way by first of all saying that I use myself as an example. You know, when I was raised as a little child, the first thing that I was taught by my mother and my grandmother that was manners and respect, you know, because it was a time, especially in this country, I was born in 1956, and it was segregation. So so-called white people were divided and black people were divided. You had your white bathroom, your black bathroom and restaurant. Black people had to go get their food out of the back. White people could come in and sit down and eat this type of stuff. So me as a little boy, looking at that, and others during our time back in the 50s, you know, they taught us, our people, the African-American people, that you see how hard it is for us. These people don't even want to treat us as a citizen. They treating us like we are animals, second-class citizen. There's no such a thing, first of all, as a second-class citizen. Almighty God said he created, Allah said he created all people equal. So ain't no such a thing as no second-class citizen. You're either a citizen or you're not a citizen. I want to say that first to say that the key to raising a child, even if they didn't come up in a good environment, I didn't come up necessarily in a good environment as far as all my life, but the basic teaching that I got at home first was always know. My mother taught me and grandmother taught me that there is a God. You're not independent, that you have a creator, that you must learn and get to know for yourself, because I'm not going to always be here with you to give you guidance, but he never was born, he never can die, he's eternal, and he's omnipresent, he's always present, he's never absent at any time or place. So these type of moral teachings, I know we must relate to our children, that you must first know that in order to have a successful life, you got to have self-respect, and in order to have self-respect, you must recognize that you got a God, a creator, and he's holding you accountable for all you do in this world, the little time you have here on his earth, his planet. You got to answer to him on a day called judgment. And they taught us just like this, and this right here stayed with me. And when I got out in the world and I began to steal or to commit other crimes, I could hear the voice of my mother saying, "Hey, you know that's wrong, son. You got to answer to God." And I could hear the voice of Almighty God saying, "Remember what your mother told you. You got to answer to me." So what I'm saying is, if we instill moral values into our children, no matter what their circumstances, Almighty God, if we're sincere, will bless that child to come out of a bad situation and bless that child's life to turn into a good situation. Almighty God, Allah said he can turn even our evil into our good if we have faith in him and we're sincerely seeking his love, not only for ourselves, but his love for our families, and not only our immediate family, but our family of mankind. So I hope that in answering your question that way, it did give some insight on how you can come from a broken home or family, and you can have atrocities and things that happen in your life bad, and with faith in Almighty God and teaching people that with the love of God and the help of Almighty God, Allah, you can overcome all, because teach them that He's greater than all your problems, and they taught us that. So that's the best advice I could give for any situation anybody's dealing with their children, with themselves, to overcome the problems that the teenagers are having and our youth today. They must be taken back to the remembrance of Almighty God. Let them know there's a God, and you need to develop a personal relationship with God for yourself, because He's your personal God as well as He's the God of all of us as people, as human beings. But you must deal with Him personally, because He wants you to deal with Him personally, because He's dealing with you personally at all times, whether you recognize it or not. He's always calling you. So I hope I answered your question sufficiently.
Oh, that's very beautiful. So, yeah, it starts with us, is what you're saying.
Yes, ma'am.
It starts with us reaching out to the higher source.
To the higher source, right, exactly, because we ourselves as parents, we're weak too. The Creator said He created all of us weak in flesh. And I've been reading over the years, and the Creator has shown me personally that we are weak in flesh, because when we try to do things on our own, even as parents, we see people, period, they don't go right. But when we all come together under the consciousness that our God is one, the family that prays together, stays together. We're taught in Islam that if you make our prayer together, you're blessed by Almighty God 27 times more than praying by yourself. And this is showing us the need for unity in our worship of Almighty God. But that the key to overcoming all the conditions of the world is people coming back to sincere worship of Almighty God. Don't take God for a joke. Don't think you can call on Him when you need Him. We must teach our children we need our Creator from the time we are born until the time we die. We don't just need Him when we think we need Him. We need Him at all times, because He's not only our Creator, but He's also our sustainer and cherisher. So just like we cherish our children, our Creator cherishes us greater than what we as parents can cherish our children. So He's all our cherisher. So we all like children to Almighty God. So we must teach our children that right there. And I guarantee you, if we're sincere, Almighty God will bless them children to turn out good, like He blessed me to turn out good. And they used to call me crazy one time when I was a little boy. Not because I was crazy, but, you know, I used to do a lot of crazy things. But they didn't know what was in my heart. But my mother had taught me God consciousness, so I knew I'd finally go. So they used to say, if you raise a child up the right way, they may stray from the way, but they still have that godly nature in them, and God will speak to them in their sin, and they will hear God, and they'll come back to Almighty God a lot.
They were raised God consciousness.
Ma'am?
That's because they were raised in God's consciousness. Although they made different choices in their life, they had exposure to God's consciousness.
And that's what I'm saying, that the children today, they have to be exposed to God consciousness like we were. They must be, because they, you know, even when we were coming along, you know, back in the 50s, they had prayer in school. Before the school day could get started, we all had to stand and pray. They took that out of school. So it's been a systematic plan of the evil forces in this country, the United States of America, to remove God consciousness, serious God consciousness out of the life of the people, but especially the children. So, you know, when we see these things happening, we have to go back to the source. They may take God consciousness out of school, but they can't take it out of our hearts and souls. So we have to always
understand.
Well, if
there's one nation, excuse me, it does say one nation under God. That's what it stands for.
That's right. But is it one nation under God? I mean, do we see one nation under God acting godly towards each other?
Well, they took the prayer out of school, so I would see there's a conflict of interest there.
And that, well, why did they do that? I mean, you know, the question is probably in a whole lot of people's mind, and it may be in some, but why did they take it out? Why do you want to take God consciousness out of the life? And see, check it out. They didn't take God consciousness out of school, out of grade school or high school or college. They took it out in elementary school. They're working on the children first because the children is our future. And if you cut the children off from God consciousness, we have nothing but a future of children that will destroy and destroying that themselves and each other because they won't have no remembrance of good. God, as when we see God consciousness, Almighty God Allah said he created the nature of good in every human being. So when you remove God consciousness from people, you're removing all good from that person's mind and their soul and their consciousness. So if you don't have good to remind you of evil when evil comes in your mind, a thought of evil comes to you, you can't fight that evil. We can only fight evil forces and negative thinking with God consciousness, which brings about positive thinking and positive actions. So we have to, and another thing I want to say, you've heard some parents over the years say to their children, don't do as I do, and they be doing things immoral. They say, do as I tell you to do, but don't do as I do. And I've always, even from a child, thought that was insanity. We lead by example. Children, I don't care how much you tell them, don't do as I do as I say. Time they get out of your sight, they're going to do as what they seen you doing because God Almighty, Allah, made us to lead by example. Moral example. So
yes.
I hope that I answered your question sufficiently.
Yes. May I ask one more? May I make a statement, if I will?
Yes. Please.
The children are to do as we are, as they see us doing, even if it's wrong, and the parents may not know that it's wrong. It's just from their mother. They've seen it, and they're not God conscious. At what point would you think a child would, it could be reversed? We don't want, in other words, we don't want to lead our children down the road of destruction. So if
That's
we
right.
start to change our life, but they've already changed to the bad part of seeing us doing bad things, how can we change them if they're already adults and they've seen us give a bad example? They've done what we did. But now we've changed and they're still doing their wrong.
Well, that's a good question. Good point. Well, this is what the way that inshallah means the will of Allah, Almighty God, I will answer that. First of all, we have to know the power of the goodness of Almighty God and know that his power of goodness and love conquers all. You know, they say a picture is worth 1,000 words. So I still believe in the power of love, and the power of love is the power of God, Allah. And I know that even my son went with me all his life. Most of his life he went with me. And it's some things that happened to him in his life. He said that, he wished if he was with me, he don't believe it would have happened. But he had to go through that. And now check this out right here for everybody listening, for your children. My son came to stay with me here in North Carolina for about 3 months. Him and my brother was with me. And my son seen the way that I was living just in about 3 months. And, you know, when he went back to Washington, D.C., he said, he told his mother, I love the way my father lived. Say, my father don't play with his faith in Allah. He don't play with his religion. He don't play with his faith. He's serious. And he said, one day, I want to be like my father. He said, I'm not like that now, but that my father is my example. One day I want to be like my father. And he was out there in the streets stealing and doing other things like I used to do when I was a youngster. And now my son has came around, Almighty God, and he just loved me and calls me and tell me he loves me. And my example has helped him. He said, I need you. And your example of how you living is helping me so much. And I know that your prayers have helped me even when I was out there in crime. So if we pray for our children, even though they may have went astray from the way we've taught them, if we pray, don't give up, ever give up on them. Keep praying for them. And if we, you know, you've planted the seed of good there, and you know, first of all, the good is already there because Almighty Allah said he created the nature of good in each and every baby that's born. So know that the good, if we feed the good and pray for the good will always prevail over the negative or the evil if the heart of that child is in the remembrance of God. If God's remembrance has been planted there, that child will come around. I believe that. And I Almighty God says that. He never changed our condition until we change our heart. So if the child changes their heart, the only way they can change, they got to see a moral example as us as parents putting before them, leading that type of life. And we would have to leave the rest to Almighty God, because everybody have a free will, and some of our children going to believe in Almighty God, some might not going to believe, but we just got to keep praying and know that Almighty God has the power to change things in our children and ourselves. Well, we can't do that on our own, but it's the power of prayer to our Creator Allah that will bring about change in our children and ourselves. So that's basically all I can say on that.
Yes, yes, I understand. So, in other words, just like we may have changed back, we were on a good path, we got off, and we may have strayed away, but we came back. So you're saying our children can also come back. That's what you're
saying. That's what I'm saying. But I'm saying yes.
I'm sorry. Even though they saw us, like you say, children do as you do, they may have seen us live in destruction. So if they saw us live in destruction, if that's the example that we gave them, at what point do they think they can even change? They may say, well, Mom, I saw you living like this, so that's why I'm living like this. But I guess it becomes an excuse. If you've changed, so can they change. But they may try to use that as an excuse or justify or hold it against you. I'm like this because of you.
Okay, you want me to respond now?
Yes, they may try to hold that against us.
Okay.
Please.
Now, this is what I would say to that. That's their choice if they want to do that. But in life, our children and ourselves, we have choices. We make choices. So Almighty God say Allah said he tests us with evil and good, both by way of trial. So the choice is up to us to make the choice to choose good or to choose bad. No matter whether it's in our mother, our father, I know many children that not Muslim, Christians, of all different ways of walks of life, they have had parents that was alcoholics, drug addicts, and those children turn out to be some of the best children in the world. Why? Now, I'm just going to answer your question. Why? Because Almighty God has a personal relationship with each and every one of us. And though people might be looking at you from the outside and trying to judge you, they don't know your heart. Almighty God say, Allah say, he's the only one that knows the heart of people. So we have to trust in the power of prayer, because we can't make our children change their mind if they've seen us do wrong. I just said, they can change if they have God consciousness in their heart. It all has to be based on the fact that everybody knows the goodness of God. I was saying to somebody yesterday when I was out doing dawah, working in the cause of Almighty God Allah, that children, even children know right from wrong. I said to a lady, and she said, oh, man, he said, you're right. And right and wrong has been instilled into us by our Creator, so every human being know right from wrong. We have a conscience and a heart. And whenever we do wrong, Prophet Muhammad said, the last prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, said, when we wrongdoing is that which wavers in your heart and your soul, and what you dislike people finding out about. So, and he said, righteousness is good morality. But people have to want to do right. We have to have a will to want to do right. So our children have to have a will. Maybe they don't have the will, but we have to pray and know that that's as far as we can go. The best we can do is pray and ask Almighty God Allah to help us with our children and believe in that prayer. Don't just pray and don't have faith that God Almighty Allah not going to do it. If you're going to pray and you don't have faith in the prayer, you might as well not pray. Because prayer without faith is dead. It's Allah, the Creator, don't even recognize that. So we have to have faith in the power of that Almighty Allah will change things. If we live in good for our children, we have to just keep praying. As I said, I went astray when I was a child, but my grandmother and my mother, them prayers, they didn't give up on me and other people. They kept praying for me. And the power of all those good prayers is why I'm still living today. So the power of prayer is what's going to bring about the change in our children, sister, as well as the world.
Okay. Well, I thank you so much. Yeah, that definitely gave me a lot of insight relative to working with the children and working with their parents, because sometimes parents, you know, they don't have the answers to help their children, but we can help our adult, we can help our adult parents and our young parents who may have had children very young just by talking with them like these shows like this. So I thank you so very much.
You're quite welcome. I thank you for calling and asking such wonderful questions so that they could be answered for not only us but all the people listening, because our children is in a bad state right now, and this society is not doing anything really, especially politics, to try to help steer our children back to the right path. So we have to take that responsibility on ourselves as parents. We have to save our own children. And just as an African-American people, we can't keep saying what slavery did to us. We have to change that by changing our thinking, because we ain't got shackles on our feet no more. We got opportunities to read books and learn. Now, it was one time in slavery they wouldn't even let our people read. African-American man and woman read. And if they caught you reading, they would put you out there and whip you on a tree or something and put fear in all the rest of the African-Americans to let them know, you niggas, y'all ain't supposed to read. Y'all are three-fifths of a human being. Y'all ain't got the intelligence capacity to understand and comprehend. We all have to be taught like we teach our dogs and animals. So that mentality, see how strong that mentality is in our people and in our children. Over 500 years, that subtle mentality is still being reinforced in the government and in all walks of life, that African-American people are inferior. But every day, Almighty God keeps showing, too, that African-American people are superior. Who is the president of the modern world? An ex-slave. I'm too. I just wanted to add that in there for Black History Month. I hope I answered your question sufficiently.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am, for coming on and answering the questions and giving feedback to me so that we could try to help solve the problems of our children, because they are our future, and I'm seriously committed to saving our children. Even if we can't save any adults, the children are the future. So that's my main priority, the children. And also we must take care of our elderly people, because if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be here. And they do slavery, blood, and death for us to be here today as African-American people. So we can never forget our elderly and the children.
We want to thank,
thank
the guest and our speaker today. We also have other callers calling in. We will try to see if someone else would like to comment now. We have a 704-267 number. We will see if this person, we have someone on the 704-267. Could you give us your name and tell us where you're calling from if you would like to make a comment or ask a question? If there's anyone out there who would like to make a comment or ask a question, please speak up now. Give us your name and tell us where you're calling from. We have a
207.
Yes?
I'm calling from White Oak, Maryland.
And your name, please?
Gwendolyn.
Gwendolyn. We have a Gwendolyn calling from Maryland. I am Shahid Shabazz. Okay, would you like to make a comment or ask a question?
I'm looking at families of the African American experience, how they go in and out of the cities every day, learning knowledge or words and reading book. Don't you think that we should take, if we can put letters together to form words, behavior, and product, what about if children were trained in trade skills with their parents to start somewhere, like Frederick Douglass built the ship under his slave master's training, but
the
our
mobile
children
customer
go in
you have
and
called
out
is unavailable or traveled outside the coverage area. Please
like
try your call again later.
Cars or stores.
MATL01.
And I want to know,
the mobile customer
what do you,
you have called is unavailable
we,
or traveled outside the coverage
every
area.
Day
please try your call again later.
Businesses to present that so that we can go to different businesses and learn a trade.
I could hear some of what you was asking, ma'am, but we was interrupted by some background. It could have been the radio station. But if you could just give me the last part of what you was asking, maybe I can pick up on the first part of what you was asking because I couldn't really get it all.
Okay, like when you say children learn by what they see, we're children that grew up and we saw adults building. They were putting parts together to bring cars together for our benefit. And
yes.
I'm looking at the products in our home, how many of our children can't even build a chair. And the word chair has air in it, which when we look at the sun, we see the rays, but we don't see the power in the rays pushing produce out of the earth, and then others getting the inspiration to taking products like trees and making chairs to bring comfort to our sitting.
Okay, so
you
I'm
know,
trying
our
to...
Seat, the seat of authority. If we say that our creation is free will view for us, how do we take a stick or a piece of wood and begin to carve or put those parts together with language that matches its action to improve the intelligence of society?
Okay, that's your question to me.
Yes.
Okay, well, you know, it goes back to the Creator. He's the source of all knowledge. And as you said, that's good what you brought in even as a child. We were given blocks and we were given different little toys to put together, and that was exercising our mind and our intelligence because it was causing us to think. It was causing us to learn. So all learning begins still with the mother and the father of a child. When you're dealing with children, they must be God conscious. A lot of people don't take that real serious God conscious when you say that. But I look in the world today and I see too much hypocrisy in not only religion but just in people. And in terms of learning, all knowledge begins with fear of God. And when I say fear of the Creator, I'm talking about fear to do wrong. You learn by, you know, mistakes that you make. Even when you're talking about the children, when we did things and we made a mistake, even putting the puzzle together, you make a mistake, but we didn't give up. So learning is a process that we, as you say, we must learn, but learning is a continuous process, but one has to have God consciousness in order to be able to learn, because Almighty God say that he created us as human beings and he put his spirit in our heart, and then he say his spirit in turn, it turned on the light of our intelligence, intellect. So intelligence comes from God consciousness. All the things that we do in life, whether it be good or bad, it comes from the intentions in the heart. And that's why I
but
said
don't
earlier
you think, but don't you think that when we look at the U.S. Treasury, where they print money every day, 24 hours, that is the subject of the sun's resources, reproducing and circulating the same idea to circulate throughout the parts of the earth. I want to know, why are we called thieves and criminals when the people who manage the abundance servicing us are denying us? And when we do get the dollars, how does that transpose to building a house if we don't even know how to build one with the paper? If we could build paper houses with paper and then graduate the value to the agreed value of a dollar. And I don't understand children being born out of a cradle when we don't even see children being put into cradles that they make with their hands. I raised my children out of a cardboard box. That was their homemade cradle. And that box was connected to business produce, which produced my children to be productive. And I'm saying that if we can get training to build a cradle or a business, you know, that will bring the civilization to every hand or every control that God gives us in our will, to match it in spirit to the material world, then we would follow those ones who will be exciting our curiosity of putting things together that would touch our sensitive compassion, that when it breaks apart, we want to go and find the part that's broken and fix it. We don't do that with our marriages. We don't do that with our families.
Okay, you want me to respond now, ma'am?
Yeah, how do we begin to change that?
Well, as I said before, you know, first of all, we have to, I have to emphasize this, we have to take God in our life serious, first of all. That is something that I don't see a lot of today. And you're talking about producing. I'm a producer myself, a work for myself. And not too long ago, as an example of what I'm, the question you asked, just as a response to it, I had never baked pies. I'm a cook. I've been cooking over 50 years. But I had never baked pies before, and I was selling pies for this man here in the state of North Carolina where I'm from. And the man went out of business, but the people, they still was calling on the pies. They wanted the pies. If the pie's a good pie, called a bean pie. So one day, the Creator just revealed to me, he said, in a thought, he said, you can cook. So if you can cook, you should be able to bake pies too. And I kept listening, and then he said, talk to your wife. And then she began to share with me ideas on how to produce this pie. Now the Creator has blessed us to have not only a bean pie, but a sweet potato pie, carrot pie, other pies. I think it's at the top of the production line. It's a healthy pie, not baked with dairy products, baked with honey, almond, and coconut milk. I'm just saying that to say that everything starts with the connection with Almighty God. These people that have produced the money from the trees and all this, they got that from God's creation. They didn't just come up with that. God had already created this vast creation. And even the airplane, how did they begin to instruct the airplane? Through the bird, looking at the bird. So, I mean, we have to have that connection with God to cause our intelligence to cause us to think. We can't even think about being productive if we forget God. When we forget God, the opposite of production is destruction. We become destructive. So it still has to be that God consciousness that's instilled in a real way, and as you say, not just in a spiritual way, but in a way where we engage the world socially, economically, to produce a world that God say he intended for this world we live in to be like a heaven on earth. But we have to, as a people, because we got free will, come back to God consciousness and thinking, and we can do this together, like the president is saying right now. Why should just the rich benefit and the big corporations benefit economically? And we have a country that say everybody can be prosperous if you work hard. You got all these hardworking people. I done worked on production assemblies, and they won't pay me all or nothing. You understand? So it's a lot of producers out here, but the problem ain't with production or the lack of people producing, not even African-American. The problem is the lack of the knowledge, the true knowledge and understanding that our Creator endowed us with inalienable rights and created us equal, and that we should have equal opportunity to pursue our liberty, which is freedom, and equality. And we don't have that because we have a lot of hypocrisy in politics, hypocrisy in religion, and we don't have sincerity in God consciousness in politics, in religion, and in most of our personal lives.
Well, I have one more question. If God was able to give knowledge, printed knowledge in the scriptures to fix Job, Eunice, we call him Job?
Yes, ma'am.
How is it that we walk away from the structuring of putting, we see produce, like you said, but we don't see family. We see individuals with their direct, divergent ways of producing, but we don't see the Adam and Eve in the garden. That's the taste that we want in the garden, not the withered away taste of tobacco or dried leaves that lost its flavor, like in herbs that we find today that don't have the flavor it used to have because of the broken family lifestyle. We're not looking at producers. We're looking at the society with mom and dad and children together. If we go to Chinatown, we don't see that. We see pictures of it on Jehovah's Witnesses book. So that's what we're talking about when we see how to see God conscious if we can't see Adam and Eve and his children in the garden.
Okay, you want me to respond?
Yes.
Ma'am?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Good question. Okay, Adam and Eve represents family life. You're right. God, from all people in the world, they're on the planet, their mother and father, their parents is Adam and Eve. We know this, no doubt about that. Even people that don't know that, well, today you'll know that. All people, the Creator created with a mother called Eve and a father called Adam. And you're right, the family structure. Is anybody talking, or can I finish? Okay. So it goes back to the family structure, but the family structure goes back to Almighty God. Adam and Eve, what did God tell them in the Garden of Eden? He told them, listen, and he gave them a set of instructions. He said, listen, go anywhere in the garden, eat of all the trees you want. They're good. Good fruit is on those trees. Say, but when you come to the tree in the midst of the garden, the bear the fruit of good and evil. Stay away from that tree. He said, for the day you eat of that tree, you will surely die. Now, he gave them clear instructions, and ain't nothing unclear about that. So Adam and Eve, they were deceived by the chief deceiver, some call him Satan or the devil, and if people choose not to believe in him, look at the world, and you can see that there's evil forces working to destroy humanity. He does exist in the form of an evil spirit. So what I'm saying is that in order for us to go back to our productivity, not just for the rich, but for all people, we still have to come back to that same consciousness that Adam and Eve had before they were deceived by the evil Satan. They were obedient to God's laws. They lived a good life in the garden. They didn't want for anything, and God provided for them. So once they fell from the grace of God, by disobeying God and listening at the chief deceiver, Satan, then God say, well, as a consequence, I'm going to put your descendants on, I'm going to put you on earth. And where I was providing for you everything you needed. You didn't have to want for nothing, but you broke my law. So the disunity came about when Adam and Eve broke the law of God by eating of the forbidden tree. So now we got to come back to eat of all of the good trees. The trees are symbolic of knowledge. Our societies of knowledge. And long as we're taking in good knowledge, godly knowledge, we can be producers not just for ourselves. We'll want for our brother among mankind what we want for ourselves. But when we go out here and seek mixed truth with falsehood like most of these religious leaders are doing and politicians are doing, then we see the selfishness and the split of the family like we see in the split with Adam and Eve. Immediately when they broke the word, the law of God, and went against his will and chose to follow the deception of the evil Satan. So we have to return back to God consciousness sincerely, and that will bring us back to productivity for all mankind and not just for ourselves. I'm through. I've answered the question the best that the Creator will bless me to be able to answer at this time. I hope it's sufficient. And thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I believe we might have lost contact. We do have another caller. Let's see if they would have something to say. I'm going to bring the caller on now. The caller is 202-5 number. If you have a question or a comment you would like to make, please speak up, give us your name, and tell us where you're calling from.
Hi. Can you hear me?
202-355.
Yes.
Peace be unto you.
Peace be back unto you, my brother. Walaikum salam. Peace be unto you also.
Yes, I was listening, and praise be to the Creator of the heaven and the earth. My soul was really uplifted hearing about prayer out of church, out of school, and I really didn't even recognize how extra that I thought about it when you said even the elementary. They start them off. If they could, they probably could get them when they come out of you. But, yeah, and also mainly the power of prayer, because it's definite. I'm a witness. And as Brother Shahi was saying, how, yeah, my son, that God bless me and him to have together, he wasn't with his father. His father had not been in his life. But, and I used to get upset sometimes, like, yeah, you so much this and you pray and you this and you that, and you don't send this boy no money. But let me straighten that up with saying, prayer had brought us further than any money he could have sent, along with so the tests that God puts us through sometimes. And it's real careful, more careful than any danger we think of to keep our heart open. And I even mentioned you talking about the heart, too. And sometimes off, right off top, even myself earlier before I, you know, got a little older and went through some things and got to, you know, get to fill up the goodness of Allah, Almighty God. A lot of these things I was experiencing with no hope, felt like. And with the hope from Brother Shahid striving on the cause, because we all have things to put on and a lot to put off more. And, you know, even with that, I really was blessed with a lot of eye-openers. And even with starting off with the power of love, that is the power of everything, even no matter what you go through, done, been through. And I'm just trying to touch a little bit of everything I heard you mention because it's touching me, and I thank Allah for so. And I had a question. My thought was about how now you have so many people that different religions, and a lot of people is saying, well, this is the way, and that is the way, and this and that. But as I've heard and believe at an earlier age, righteousness, even though they say church meaning righteousness or God conscience, starts in the heart. So if you're really sincere continuously, even though it don't mean you might not make some mistakes or do something that you didn't want to do, all that is a part of your faith, and how far will you go? But anyway, I really felt good. My mind skipped to so many things, so I just was grateful to hear those things and realizing that somebody else is hearing it, you know, and hope that it enlarged, because it's really, really a situation about our young kids. Truly, they are our future. Not only in just our future, like my kids, but my kids, and on and on. And if we don't install in them the love, no matter what your friends do, all they're going to know about is a game, a new pair of shoes, something that don't mean nothing, and begin to act like animals other than human beings. And on behalf of what we're talking about, how kids hold things against you, I was dealing with that once, too. And like the brother did say, it's the heart. No matter what they can't hold against you, because God in control. And if you pray about the situation, truly don't give up, even if it seems like it ain't going to happen, it will. I bear witness. Peace be unto you. Thanks for letting me talk.
And peace be unto you, my beautiful, beloved sister, Rashida. And I want the listening audience to know that that was my son's mother. We was married about 25 years ago. We had a beautiful marriage in that we stressed family life. She and I both treated our families like they were our families. I took care of her mother like she was my mother, real mother, and she took care of my mother like it was her real mother, and she also took care of my older children. She's a mother not only to her children, but she's a mother to all the children. And I want to go back and reiterate a point I made earlier for Black History Month over in Africa. Before we were brought to the United States of America as slaves, not as free people, as slaves, most of us, we were taught that it takes a village to raise one child. Now, that right there, when I was raised up back during the 50s, everybody in the neighborhood was your like your mother and father. If you left home and you did something, you had eyes watching you everywhere. And before you got back home, the news had got there what you done did. So, and even in school, when I was coming along, before they took consciousness out of school, the parents gave the teachers the right to disrupt the children. They didn't try to kill us, but gave them the right to admonish us in a way that they had what you call little straps, and they would take, hold out your hand and give you so many licks. So they wasn't trying to kill us, and now they done took out the government itself, done took out the privilege away from parents to discipline their children. It ain't nothing trying to kill them, but they don't want them to even say nothing to them, and you got children that are saying to their parents now, if you say something to me wrong, I'll tell a lie and say you hit me side the head or you beat me, and they'll lock you up. So how are we going to change this crazy, insane thinking when the government condones such crazy, insane things? And they do. We got to go back to what this beautiful sister said and others said. We got to go back to God consciousness. But we can't go back to we look out in the world today, and like you said, all religions, it ain't about what religion you in. If that's what it was about, why are we so divided today? Muslim against Christian, Christian against Muslim, Jews against Christian, Chinese against America. Now, the key to the world coming back to family life and unity is everybody recognizing if they're sincere that our God is the same God no matter what religion you're in. What color is the spirit of every human being? No color. So that's our real life, our soul. So when you deal with the soul, you're dealing with the oneness of Almighty God in every human being, and that's what causes us to see each other as one. It's our soul. Audience, if you hold on here, my battery is going a little low, and I'll finish. I hope I don't get cut off. Hold on.
All right, Imam Shaheed.
I'm back. I'm hooked up. So I hope, Sister Rashida, that I answered your question, and we thank you for participating again on the program, because last week when you spoke, I was working in Salisbury, North Carolina, the other day, and a lady said, you gave a great talk. She said you really inspired her and encouraged her in terms of how to help her children and to raise them even better. So you're doing a good job. Keep up the good work, and may Almighty God bless you and our family and all the families of all the godly people on the planet Earth. Thank you again for coming on.
Thank you, too.
You're welcome.
We want to thank Sister Rashida and all the other who came on today, listeners who came in and asked questions and made comments. We appreciate all of you. We want you to know that this is your show. This show is here for you, to help you. Maybe you can give information to others that you have to help others and receive information to help you. That's what it's all about, of helping one another to grow stronger, to become unified as one, and to do the work that we have to do for our Creator on earth. And as I was listening to the beautiful comments and questions, it took me back to the time when I was living in a place called Alexandria, Virginia, and I became like the mother of the neighborhood. That was really a global neighborhood. We had children of all races, people of all races on the block we were in Alexandria at that time. And they would come to my home, so I became their mother, the mother of the neighborhood. And that reminds me that these children were not children that were rich in the neighborhood, but just an ordinary neighborhood, one that people might say, you know, was not to be classified as even a middle-class neighborhood. But it was a neighborhood of people poor people, but people who cared. And we did have families in there, of course, with children who decided that they want to do the ungodly and do other than right. But the average parent was very concerned for their children, and they knew that when they came to my house, they were going to be taught right. So the children would come to my home, and they would be Caucasian, Spanish, African-American, others. They all came to my home. And these children were children that were considered. They didn't think that they would be able to go receive a high education, go to college and do anything much with their lives, and many of them they expected to be in jail. But as the law God had to be, I taught and they thanked me because I let them know that what God has given us, everything is in us to do what we will do with our life. The resources are within us. We have to have a determination. We have to believe. And we have to believe in our Creator, number one. And we have to keep saying we have to keep it. We have to know that life is a struggle. And we're going to have our trials and struggles there to make us strong and to hold on and keep trying and just keep pushing. And if you want to do something in life, you can do it. There's no excuse. You hold yourself back. It's what we call self that holds us back for doing what we will. Sure, we might. You're going to try the waters, you know, try the fire, and we're going to get burned a little from us. You know, we're going to go astray. That's the test. And that's to bring us back to the right place, that help us to understand what's being taught to us and to make us more determined and stronger if we choose to do right. But it's a choice. You have to have that choice and make that choice. And it's not just children from low-income neighborhoods that are born astray, that are doing wrong, that are getting in trouble, that are in jail, and even have been murdered because of the wrong they've been doing. It's also children from all walks of life, some from the rich families, from the professional families, those who have high positions. Their children, too, are born astray because they are influenced by the negativity in our society, all this distraction that calls them to the wrong rather than to the right because God consciousness, as my husband had said, has left. There is no God consciousness, and the morals have degraded. So the children see what others are doing, and they want to try that way. But if you keep God consciousness in front of them, you'll be the one to show them the way by your conscience. By right conduct, and keep on them each time that they must answer to a Creator. They're not here for the people, they're here for their Creator and to do His will. These are the things that will keep them going on the right path and going right. We want to thank you now, calling them, Jaheen, that's one of them. If there is anyone else who would like to say something, you're welcome to come on now. Give us your name, tell us where you're from, and we would love to hear from you. All right, your name is Shaheed. You're back on the you may continue with your broadcast.
Okay, thank you very much, my beloved wife. I wanted to say this. This was just echoing in my soul and in my mind as I was listening to everybody and thinking about the wonderful comments and the wonderful guests that we had on and the wonderful people listening. And that is that a singer by the name of Stephanie Mills, may God bless her, Almighty God Allah, for a song that He inspired her to make years ago, stays with me and will be with me until I leave the planet Earth. And on the song, these are the main words she said, "I've learned to respect the power of love." That's something that I want to say, that real love, if you respect the power of love, you're respecting the power of God.
All right, now.
And that is what brings about change with people having different understandings and different religions and different ways that we're living. The love of God will reconcile and bring about unity no matter where you come from, how you think, how I think. If the love of God in you is real, it's got to be real. God, you can't play with God because this is the way that our children is like this too. You know, I've seen people doing bad things when I was growing up. I've seen people doing good things. But we do always have a choice between right and wrong. But I still want to emphasize that if we have the love of God in our heart, and I see a lot of people in most all religions, they just do not respect the power of God's love. Because if you love God, it ain't no way you won't love your brothers and sisters, and I'm talking about all people.
All right now.
You got to love everybody. God said his love, Allah said his love is for everybody. He said if you're going to serve him, be your love and your service for all mankind, all people. So I want to emphasize that. I also want to say to all of the African-American people listening today, specifically I'm talking to you all now, don't allow these people to disrespect us in the United States of America when we done built up this country off our slave labor and blood. And now they done fold us to the side. Don't allow them to disrespect us to the degree to allow us 1 month to reflect on our history and the things we've done. We've done more than the Europeans. We've done more than the Jews. We've done more than anybody that have came to America as immigrants, but we came as slaves. We've done more to build up this country than anybody that ever came to the shores of America. And we should not allow them to disrespect us by giving us 1 month to commemorate what we've done in terms of productivity and civilization to this country, not only this country, but the whole world. The civilization began in Africa. It didn't begin in Europe. It didn't begin in China. This ain't no racist statement. These are facts that we need to know as a people, African-American people and so-called black people all over the world, and especially African-American people. We reject that you all have given us a month to celebrate and commemorate the great things that we've been blessed to do. And to that fact, we have an African-American president, and how did he become a president if we ain't done nothing? He didn't get there based on his color. He got there based on the ability to do the job. So we must understand that we as a people have been blessed with God-given abilities to do anything in the world that everybody else can do, but even greater things, not because we're better than other people, but because we are, as a people, so we've been treated worse than any people on the planet, the African-American man and woman in America. We have experienced a slavery that no people ever recorded in history have experienced, but you can find some of the best human beings with the most love in their hearts still among the African-American people, even though a majority of us have gone insane. But you still can find some of the most loving people among us, and not in religion either, just ordinary people in the street. I meet people in the street that people say are drunks or drug addicts. I get some of the best feeling and love from them people than I do most people in religion. That shows you the power. Learn to respect the power of love in everybody.
Yes. I'd like to make a comment, please.
Yes. Please.
Okay. Yes. Mr. Shahid, I'd like to please make a comment.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Okay, I like to say the love. Excuse me, the love of the Lord, the good Lord. The love of the good Lord. You know, God make us intelligent, so love has to be qualified. We love those who love God, and for those who don't like God, we don't hate you. We hate your ways. I just wanted to make that distinguish, and we're praying for you because you can't do nothing without Him. And I just wanted to say that. Love has to be qualified. Love is an intelligent love. We don't just give love to those who are throwing stones at us. We love those who love us because we're trying to do the right thing. Although we may not agree, we still respect you, the ways of the wrongdoers.
Okay. Was that just a comment you wanted to give? You have anything else you want to elaborate on that? Or you want me to respond to that?
I just would like for you to talk about love being qualified, meaning that love is intelligent. We use our intelligence to give the love in the proper direction, to give love where it needs to go. We don't just, you know, give out our goodness to people that's bringing harm to us or people that's throwing stones at us. I just would like
that's
you to
mention that. That's a good point.
That.
Okay, if you will allow me, ma'am, I appreciate that to the fullest. I respond to that. That's a good point. Whenever I speak about love, I know that the first qualification of love when I speak of love is qualified in my heart with the sincerity of my heart that I have for Almighty God. And anybody that have sincere love for Almighty God, Allah, that love is qualified intelligently and shown in their actions intelligently if they are sincere. And first of all, I want to say this. Almighty God say, and this is for everybody, he said, how can you love him, the creator, who you cannot see? He's unseen. He go over that and over that again in the Holy Quran. He say, the believers are those who believe in God, the creator, that unseen creator. So we can't see the creator. So in other words, he said, how can you love him? You don't see him, but you see me every day. Yet you show me no love. And that's what I want to just bring out to that. We speak of talking about intelligent love. Now, intelligence is the won't bother the good that God has blessed you with. So if we see somebody out there, even the Creator say, if there's somebody out there, this is what he said in the Holy Quran. He said, tell those who believe in him, the Creator, Allah, to forgive those who don't believe in him, who don't look forward to the day of judgment to face their Creator. So the Creator tell us to forgive those who reject him. He don't say you can't love a person who hates, showing you hatred, but the Creator say you can treat them kind. And he say, how have you, and he say his love conquers all. So the Creator says again, he can turn even evil into good. So we are not to judge anybody. He say don't judge nobody unless he judge you. So, yeah, we love intelligently, but we ain't no God either, so we don't go around saying who we gonna love and who we ain't gonna love. Because the Creator tell us, even though we can't show love back to those who showing us hatred, but he says still treat them with kindness and let him do the rest. He'll deal with their hearts, and he'll change their heart. And he said he'll even make your enemy your friend if you just treat them with kindness. Don't treat them with hatred because they treat you with hatred, because two wrongs definitely don't make a right. And this is what the Creator say.
Right. That's true. I agree.
I agree with you, ma'am.
I would like to say that's true. I agree with you. We're taught that we should not let the hatred of other people incite us to do anything but just.
That's right.
And I do remember when I was in a transitional place with my children, and there was a lady who wanted to Just come at me the wrong way. I guess she was aggressive with a lot of people. And I told her, I said, well, you're not my God and you're not my mother. I had, you know, because religious people, God-fearing people are, you know, they try to, God will use them, and he uses them, and he makes them utilize their faculties. And I didn't respond to the lady. She kept harassing me, bothering me, threatening me, but I prayed on her. I prayed on her to the point that one day she knocked on my door and she told me I left my glasses on the ironing board. She could have smashed the glasses. I knew the Lord was working in her life.
Yes.
The same lady who harassed me had befriended
me. But you prayed, and I understand exactly what you're saying. We have to pray intelligently to God, and what the Creator has blessed me to understand and the little knowledge he's blessed me with, that intelligence is the fear of God. It's the fear to do wrong. So that is, intelligent love is the fear to do wrong to others just because they're doing it to you.
Exactly.
Because,
and I guess on the strength, you know, I was trying to be the example. And her God conscious that she was created with spoke to her because I did not respond. I did not lower my ways to her standards.
Exactly.
She, it was an inspiration for her, and it changed her heart. And so I just wanted to share that story, that you pray for those people, and you keep praying for them.
How can you pray for people who don't read the book God sent down? He sent down
because
the Quran as he sent the books before.
Because if you're giving people your example, you're
putting your God-like image to them rather than the book that God sent down directly to the whole world.
Well, it's because people
pray
for us. We
don't get to know the people when they have a bad behavior. We only judge their behavior on the surface, but we don't look at the root of what's connected to their behavior in their past. Well,
I want to know how
doing.
Do we bring our problems to the table so that we can chart our destiny and train our children to beware of, so that we can learn how to problem solve.
Right. Yeah,
the
well,
book is
I
the
Quran,
and that's the book I study to understand the previous scriptures for my behavior.
I would think we would just pray for them, like others pray for us. And,
but that God didn't send down prayer. He sent the book. He sent the book to Moses as he sent to Jesus, the gospel, and he sent the Quran to the people to graduate them in problem solving.
Well, that's
and
when
we
do our part, God will do the rest.
People who say they're Christian and they don't read it, but they read books written by pornographers and movie industries, that doesn't make sense to children.
Well, I would think we do our part, and God will do the rest. We look at their actions, and God will change their heart. Is that right, brother, Mr. Shahid?
Well, I was listening to both of you beautiful souls, and I'm so happy to have you on here, all of you, giving your input, because it helps me, help God to use me. And I understand what the other sister's saying also, because, in other words, we don't, even in the Quran, we are not the taught to pray for our enemies in the sense that you know your enemy ain't going to do you no good, but the prayer, we do have prayers in there where we ask the Creator to protect us from the enemies that the harm that they want to do for us. But the sister's absolutely right in the sense that it's just like in Christianity. I was raised as a Southern Baptist Christian, and they taught us to love everybody, even love your enemy. Well, as you can go back to what you said, love is intelligent. God is intelligent. You cannot love your enemy, but you can treat your enemy with kindness, and God say he will make your enemy become your friend. That's a difference.
Exactly. Yeah, just try to be the example.
But if the enemy is inside of me, it's called enemy inside of me, don't I have to educate the enemy inside of me so it won't reflect in the persons I meet?
Yes, you do. You are absolutely right. That's a wonderful comment right there, because we are told by the last prophet, Muhammad, of Almighty God for all mankind. And I love what you said. Islam is here to gradually take us all people, not just Muslims, but for the whole world. Islam is here for the whole world. I want everybody to know that today. And, yes, we do. Our worst enemy is our enemy inside of us. And to that fact, the last prophet of Almighty God, Allah, Muhammad Mustafa Ibn Abdullah, said our greatest struggle as human beings is against our enemy within. That enemy that wants to keep us in the carnal things and carnal desires and keep our attention off our soul purification and our soul salvation, which is really our real life, our immortal soul. So, yes, I just wanted to speak to that. On that, and I hope that addressed what you were saying also, sister.
Yes. If I could, for a moment, just make a comment here. The conversation is so interesting, and speaking of love and speaking of your fellow man and how you should treat him under certain conditions, it just brought back this thought of the prophet to my mind and the realization that, yes, we were sent books. The picture of the words of our Creator in books, telling us how to live our life the way He had chosen for us to live. And He sent these prophets not just to bring the word in the book, but to be examples of His word by the conduct, by the way they live their life. So they live their life in examples of His word. And in these examples, they were confronted with people, like you say, who didn't love Him, who wanted to kill them, who rebelled against the words and everything. But they did not fight these people back in anger, discord, or rejecting them. They were humble, and they protected themselves where necessary when physical force came and tried to destroy them. Of course, they protected themselves. But otherwise, they continued to pray for their enemy and ask for His forgiveness like the Creator had told them to. No, they didn't. They can't love the enemy. But they knew that the hearts can be changed to the enemy and can be turned to the good. And in many cases, their enemies became the best helpers, even in war, best warriors, best friends. And I'm reminded, especially of Prophet Muhammad
And in the case of the wars and his enemies who tried to destroy him became his leaders in his war. And this lady again who would throw everything on him from the window, she again accepted Islam. And this is the examples that they were showing us of how just being patient and praying. And you have to ignore this by avoiding the wrong and just continuing to do right and live the best of conduct within yourself. And if that person sees that he's not going to reach you through his ugliness and his wrong, it's going to make him look within himself. He has to look within himself first and think about himself and think about you. And he's going to one day desire to say, I can't defeat this man. This man is too strong for me. And the way he's conducting himself, that's probably the way I need to be. And this is going to turn him towards wanting to be a better person himself. So the idea is not to try to ignore and talk about someone because of the way they treat you, or they, even if they say they don't love you, because many people just don't know what love is. They haven't had anyone to love them. They are angry at the world because they feel like the world doesn't hate them, abusing them, mistreating them, and then they're wondering why they even exist. So they need your love. They need your patience. They need your prayers and your humility to help them to come back to the right.
But
right,
in forgiveness, you have to give the things that people are absent of. If a person is hungry, you forgive them with food. If a person is angry because they're evicted from their home, you have to give them the resource of another home and the knowledge to live in it. That's called forgiveness, not just words. You have to give them the things that is suffering their life. What do you think about that?
You asking me, you're asking the co-host.
Well, I'm asking all of you because I hear the word forgive often, but I don't see anything of the material absence of the person receiving it in order to have a good feeling of love. If I'm outdoors and you give me warmth and comfort, I love you for that. But if you just say, oh, I'm so sorry, I forgive you, well, how did I get to this situation if we're forgiving in a society of abundance?
Well, I think that I know for my wife and the other sister, I know they're part of the Islamic way of life. It's not a religion. It's a way of life. We're not talking about love or forgiveness in that way. She spoke about love being intelligent. And now we know that the Creator is the all-intelligent. He's all-knowing, all-wise, not us. We get knowledge only from Him. So we know that action has to go with love. And we're talking about love is an action word. The Creator is love. And don't He show His actions through His love and His creation by providing for us every single day? In fact, yes. He said that when He decreed His creation in the heavens and the earth, He decreed that His mercy prevailed over His wrath. And He said to that point, if He was to destroy every one of us here as human beings today, He wouldn't leave a single one of us on earth for what we deserve and based upon what He requires of us. So ain't none of us in a position to ever, I'm going to share this, and I think it was Frederick Douglass, it doesn't really matter, but it was one of the African-American scholars, it could have been Martin Luther King, it doesn't matter, peace be upon them all, but he said the only time we should look down on anybody is when we're picking them up. So we know that love goes with action. You can't serve Almighty God without action. Love is an action word. Love is expressed. If you say you love me, but you treat me like dirt, then I know you don't love me. Love is an action word. You have to show love. And like we were saying earlier, I love what my wife went back to say about the prophets and the messengers of Almighty God. They conquered their enemies not by fighting evil with evil, force with force. They fought their enemies by using the strategy that Almighty God, Allah, told them to fight with. And that strategy was with love and kindness. Now, I'm going to express what I'm saying. In the Christian way of life or religion, there's a passage in the Bible, and this is Almighty God speaking to all people. And He's asking the people, His people, how have you drawn people to me? And then God respond back and say, you have drawn them to me with love and kindness. So, you know, you can't love, you hear me? But Almighty God say, treat them with kindness. And He say, if you treat them with kindness and self-restrain, restrain your anger and still help them, and show them whatever way you can help them. He said he will do the rest. He said he will bring about the change in that person. And in many cases, we can go throughout history where God changed the heart of the enemies of faith to turn them back to God just through the way that godly people dealt with them. I want to say this too, and this will be brief and you can respond. There was an instance, I understand, in the life of Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, where they were stoning people to death if you committed adultery back in those days. And they had this lady that had committed adultery, and they had this pit-like place. They were getting ready to stone this lady to death. That was a punishment. That was the law. Okay? So Jesus had heard about this, and he rushed there, and just as they had got them rocks up in the air, getting ready to throw and stone that lady to death, Jesus said, hold it. He said, the one without sin cast the first stone. You know what all of them did? They looked around at each other, and I don't know what they said to themselves. I know I ain't without sin, and all of them dropped them stones, and they got walked away from there. And Prophet Jesus told the lady, said, listen, Almighty God didn't create you like this. He created you with the nature of good. You made a mistake. God forgive mistakes. He forgives sin. He said, ask God to forgive you and go on about your business and sin no more. And the lady's life was spared. So that's another instance of we can't just think we're supposed to just hate on people and I'm going to kill you, kill people by being vindictive. Almighty God says vengeance is his. It's not ours. So I just wanted to put that in there just to be on.
Right. Yes.
Well, I see people killing themselves when they leave the garden and live in the garbage. If you were living, the woman that threw the garbage, she was not with husband, but it was the good works of the Prophet Muhammad who constantly visited her about her concerns. He knew that she needed a husband, as Jesus also knew we needed a husband and a wife relationship in the garden. And I never saw Jesus deny helping people, whether they were sick, hungry, out of doors, or whatever. So when you look at the example of a Jesus, a society, and you see the people with churches in every corner, synagogues everywhere, mosques everywhere, how do we ascertain the ability to live and to receive kindness when we don't respect kindness? Because I know when I'm with my husband, we get every good thing that God prescribes. When we were apart, we lost everything. Nobody invited us. Nobody shared with us. They treated us like animals. And I want to know if that is a key to looking at the signs of creation, to how people are partnered in their dwelling. I want to know, because Imam Muhammad gave a house to a mother with 8 children for $2. And we have people who have houses sitting empty, and they won't even allow us to occupy those houses to maintain it until it's ready for its the right service. He said, don't hurt the trees of your enemy. Why, if we're in war, we can't hurt the trees of our enemy? Because God is merciful to leave them with trees to take care of their livelihood. Why we're not practicing that?
Well, you got a good point. Excellent. And I'm glad to have you on here because you brought out some very, very strong points that I mention every day. And before I answer your trying to answer that, be it the will of Almighty God Allah, I want to say this. You know, sister, my wife, in the introduction of me, and it ain't even about me, it's just about what you're talking about. Allah has blessed me to be a Muslim now of the Islamic way of life for almost 40 years. And you know, most of that time has been out in the street because I'm a merchant. I sell different items, and I was doing door-to-door. And oftentimes here recently, always when I'm out, I'm helping people. I take out of my own pocket if they need and help them, especially the women with children. And here recently, just yesterday, I want to share this experience with you too, and I'm going to get back to your point quickly. I was working in Greensboro, North Carolina, and a little child was going to ask their mother and father did they want to buy something from me, you know? And the time I got to the door with the child, the little child looked up at me and said, are you Jesus? And I said to the child, yes, I am. And you know why I said to the child, yes, I am? Because I'm out there doing the works of Jesus. And Almighty God said, when you do the works of his prophets and messengers, you become one in his God and in his spiritual unity with them. And you're right about what you just said. I was just saying about all of the religions, but even in Islam, you're right. Not only that, but you've got other communities. I'm from the community in Durham, North Carolina, and I was talking about getting a restaurant going back, selling food and pies and stuff to the people, the community. If you're going to serve Almighty God, Allah, you got to serve the people. That's what Imam Wafdi Muhammad taught. He also taught economic production, and he also taught charity. That Allah Almighty says in the Quran, Almighty God Allah says that, what are we to give in charity? And he said we ought to give what is beyond our need. And I want to say this too. I'm familiar with Prophet Muhammad in this way also, and Jesus and others. There was one instance where Prophet Muhammad only had enough dates for his family, dates, D-A-T-E-S. And a poor person came by, and they were hungry. And the prophet's wife said, family said, we only have enough dates for ourselves. The prophet said, well, just cut one date in half, give it to them, the poor person, and we'll share the rest. So, you know, when you speak of serving God, you got to speak of giving and sharing and being productive. And the productivity is not you just making money for yourself. It's being productive so that you can be productive for the good of all mankind, not just yourself.
Right.
So I just wanted to say that. I don't know if I answered your question sufficiently or not. If not, then we can start over again. But
okay.
I did want to
May
get
I
that
May I ask
in.
A question, please? I have a
sure.
question.
Sure.
Hello.
Yes, you may.
Oh, thank you. I've heard Mrs. Abdullah, the host, talk about children, because we work with children, and she has background in education. She told me, I have a question. If the young people, not so much the children, let's say the preteens and young adults, okay, children are the example of the adults, as you said earlier. Is there a way, well, let me just back up. I apologize. Sister, Mrs. Abdullah even said that we're losing a lot of our youth. Okay? Now, if the children are, if they are, we're their example, and we're getting out, we're trying to get ourselves together, what is the best way for the adults? You know, they're young, they're adults now, their interests are different. How can we bring them back to the fold? In other words, we want them to be excited. You know, we're, like, in other words, we're older people. If we're older, we're just getting started with some of the good works that some people are just getting consciousness in their 30s and 40s and 50s. Now, how can we wean the young people in their early age to get involved as opposed to waiting to their later in their lives? How can we attract the young people to do the same work that we're doing? And I wanted to ask you, how can we bring the young people in and give them interest?
Is that question addressed to the co-host, Ms. Abdullah, my wife, or myself, the host?
I would like to ask you, Mrs. Shaheed, because you probably work with the males. I just want to know, how can we attract them? Because so many young people don't think what older people doing is any good, but how can we attract them? Because they are the future. If you stated we're preparing for the future, how can we bring them in right now so they can become a part of what we're doing, make it attractive to them?
The best way to attract them, that's easy. It's not hard. It's through a good moral conduct. I was saying yesterday, I was out, not only since I've been with my wife over the going on 8 years this April or May, I've had so many children, even Caucasian children, in a restaurant one time. Of course, it's got my character is everything, but it's the way I dress too. I don't dress like most Americans dress, I wear what's called holy garments, covering my body. Almighty God, Allah says in the Holy Quran, He's given us our clothing to cover our shame, the shame of our body. Just a moment, but He said the best clothes is righteousness, okay? This is what the Creator said, the best clothes that we can have is righteousness. So the way to go back to where we started at in the beginning of this talk show, the way we're going to set the example for, and I can say this right now, I told my wife yesterday when I was out working in Greensboro, North Carolina, the young people, I mean, even the ones that was out smoking drugs and stuff, they just have the highest respect for me. I asked them, I say, we out trying to do good, and can you all give donations? And I had products. One young man said, I don't want to buy anything, but I just want to support what you're doing. Now, he was getting high. Suppose I would have just said, I ain't going to even deal with them. They getting high and just start talking about them. How am I going to go? The Prophet Muhammad said we should help our brother and our sister in the wrong and in the right. Now, I know probably everybody listening wondering, how you going to help somebody in the wrong? The Prophet Muhammad said the way you help anybody in the wrong is by calling them back to the right, not condemning them. Call them back to the right. And you ain't got to say it with words. You basically call people back, the children back to the right through your conduct. You lead by example. We are also taught that a picture is worth a thousand words. So you can speak more to people and influence their life to bring about a change. If you're dealing with youth, the children, if you're dealing with, that's who you're dealing with, through your moral example. Through my moral example, I want to share this story with y'all too. This was about my fifth or sixth year in the faith of Islam. And I was walking. I didn't have no car, no transportation. I caught the bus, and I walked with my backpack on my back, selling my goods all over the city. I used to walk most of the time. Sometimes I caught the bus. And one lady told me, one of my customers, she told me a few years later, said, you know, my grandson, he have been watching your life, and he loved the way you live as in your faith as a Muslim. And so he now done become a Muslim himself. So that's how we bring about a change. People are watching you when you say you're Muslim more than they are Christian, Jews, or anybody else. Why? Because Almighty God Allah said Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, was the best model of moral conduct for Muslims throughout the world. And he said we as Muslims today and for all time, we are obligated by Almighty Allah to be the best moral example, following Prophet Muhammad's Sunnah example of moral conduct for mankind, and that's how we're going to bring about a change. And I tell you right now, too. I tell you right now.
Question.
Yes.
This
I wanted
is
to
2014.
Say.
It brings to mind Surah 14, Abraham, alayhi as-salam. How is it the story of Abraham the prophet to all religious faiths, how is it he put Hagar to the Kaaba to stay while he and his first wife Sarah stayed in Hebron, Jerusalem, and if I'm not mistaken, they're 500 miles apart. How are we to use that example in our present-day life? Because I have a husband who is trying to live the life of the Quran, but the society decided for him to have a different wife. And that wife made me leave and go to a distant state to stay. I want to know, how do we teach our children to follow the scriptural guidance if the book is written one way and we're practicing another way, claiming to be what we say we are? How do we live the life and bring the change of obeying Allah, God, to take care of our first wife and to put our second wife with good provision and wealth to her people, society? I want to know that question.
Okay, first of all, I'm going back to address Abu, or Prophet Abraham, or Father Abraham, because he's said by Allah to be the father, founding father of monotheism, that is the practice of the belief in the oneness of Almighty God for Jews, Christian, and Muslim. First of all, none of the men of Allah, a lady came on, I was on one lady talk show out of Chicago, and they were trying to say that Prophet Muhammad had sex with Aisha when she was a little bitty, basically a baby, and that's insanity. That's absurd. In the Christian faith, they lie on Jesus and say Jesus said he's the Son of God and his mother is the mother of God. Neither one of them said those things like that. So first of all, I want to clear up anything said about any of the prophets and messengers and righteous women and men of Almighty God. I'm going to stand for them right now. They did not practice any immoral conduct. Whatever they did, Almighty God Allah, if they needed correcting, Almighty God Allah corrected them, and they lived godly lives that was approved by Allah, and that's what Allah said in the Holy Quran. Now, as far as
but
the
do
faith,
you think that the word baby was misused? Because we're called baby nation of Islam, and Elijah called his wife, Clara, baby. What's wrong with that?
Well, I think it's good to let him finish, Miss.
It is good to let me finish, because then that way you have a better understanding. I was going to answer the last part of your question about men having second wives and not treating them right.
No, I was responding to the word baby and children of Israel.
Right. Well, you
You're
know,
saying that he didn't
we
do
have to deal with one thing.
We're
time.
All
you
babies.
What do
so
you mean?
So why would baby be a sensitivity to the language?
Excuse me?
Why would the word baby be sensitive to the language of religious people when we're all babies and children of Israel and the nation of Islam?
Okay, well, you have jumped to something else. I'm not dealing with the nation of Islam. I'm not dealing with
the
baby nation.
I'm talking about the baby term, baby. You said that he didn't have sex with Aisha. I think that Aisha, no matter how old she was, she was a baby in life, so she had to consult with her husband.
Well,
right.
I think she was a scholar. She was very young, and she had good memory.
If you will let me finish, we can address. We're not on this show to debate just for debating's sake. We're on this show to try to get some understanding that will help us all better understand and live the life that Almighty God Allah wants not just Muslims to live, but Christians, Jews, and every human being on the planet. So that's what we're here to do, sister. So we're going to stick with the foundation of the talk show, and that's the correct belief in Almighty God Allah and the correct life that Almighty God Allah wants every human being to live, which is a morally upright life. And we all know right from wrong because Almighty God Allah said he created the nature of good in us and he gave us the intelligence in us, he created in us to distinguish right from wrong. So we don't even need to mention none of the prophets of Allah and messengers if we wanted to speak about just what's right and wrong. Everybody know right and wrong. Whether you choose right or not, you know what's right and you know what's wrong because Allah has created that mechanism in every human heart and every human soul and conscience to know right from wrong. So some of the people in Islam, Christianity, Judaism, Prophet Muhammad said it would be in this time we in the last days, and the signs are here. He said it would be 73 groups of Muslims, 72 groups of Christians, and 71 groups of Jews in their religious order. And he said 72 sects or groups of the Muslims will go astray, 71 of the Christians, and 70 of the Jews. In other words, he said it wouldn't be but one group that would be sincerely following the divine Shahari laws of Almighty God, Allah, that he revealed to Prophet Moses, Prophet Esau, Jesus, and Prophet Muhammad. And so you go by what the study of that part of Islam, you will see why things are like they are. The Holy Quran, Allah haven't left out anything we need to know as people on the planet Earth to help us solve our problems today. And a lot of Muslims and Christians and Jews are practicing what's called bid'ah innovation. And they're saying God said this, Allah say that. And they're lying on Allah. Allah didn't say anything if it ain't good. Allah said he's all good, and he only accepts that which is good. So anything good and right, that's from Allah. Anything bad from bad that we do, Allah said that's from us as human beings, our own selves.
Thank you. I want to interrupt
at this point and let you know that we have 5 minutes left, so we need to be rounding down now.
Okay.
Just shorten our conversation. At this point, would you like, if there's any question to ask, remember, we only have 5 minutes left.
Yes,
so
I have a question, please.
Yes.
Should we try to get the, yes, hello. I'd like to know if we are to be the example and the children are really into the music and the hip-hop and things like that, shouldn't we create fun activities for them and let them know that you can be, you can have fun and still be, have faith? Shouldn't we meet them halfway like that? I wanted to know, can't we design activities for them? Although they may not want to hear us, but is there a way that we can create fun activities in bringing them to the faith?
Absolutely.
I can understand what you're saying. And with that, yes, if we are to be the example, then we have to set the right way and not allow them to go the way of the world, and which most, even Muslims, are doing. I remember a time when the Muslims, and I still see those children in Islam, they're striving to live as upright as they can according to what their understanding, but they do strive to please Allah, and they're coming to Masjid, making their salats, and living basically decent lives. That was because at that time we kept our children within our own confines, the way of life we want. We taught them, we socialized together as a family. You have to be like a family. We had all kinds of activities for them. And we made sure that they participate with one another. But unfortunately, as time went on, we allowed our children to get out and become a part of the world that we know is living opposite to right. They are ungodly, will. As we have to understand this is a war between good and evil, and we call the good Allah and the evil Shaitan. So therefore, we have to constantly be aware that we cannot allow our children to participate in this world and do everything they want to do. We must keep them conscious that they can do and enjoy life in a good way without having to be a part of the world on the outside. Now, we do have some Muslims who have children who were able to not succumb to the evil and wickedness of this world, and they are doing fine, living good lives as examples as they should. But our children at some point want to be independent, what they call their grown at a certain age when they get out on their own. They want to try, and they have to, for everyone else, try to the waters and try the fire for themselves. That means to choose good or choose evil and suffer the consequences of their choice. But there, if you brought them up the right way, like we said before, they will come back home. If they find themselves going astray and getting into trouble and all, they're going to say, uh-oh, I made a bad mistake. I've done wrong. I got to get back on the right track. That's going to be in them to do good, to do right. But they have to be able to choose for themselves like we or anybody else was, especially after they become grown and out on their own. We cannot choose for them. They have to answer to their creator by themselves. We can't answer for them. We do the right to set in the foundation that Allah has chosen us to set for them to live and guide them in that direction. But once they become of age for them to choose themselves, then we have to let them go.
I see. Even though they may not make the best choices, they still have God consciousness because you taught them that. And maybe eventually they'll come back. And thank you very much.
I also want to say that if we can visit the graves, we can visit the farms, because the farms are graves, but they are productive for children to stay connected to rather than keeping them learning scripture in prison. Do you think it would be wise to invite the public to bring their scriptures to the farm so the children can apply it?
You take it in your heart wherever you go. It's the life you live, your moral conduct. I hate to cut you short here, but we have about a minute and a half, not even a minute and a half left, and we are going to have to close out now. We want to thank all of you for the beautiful participation. And Imam Shahid Shabazz, I give you a last word before we close out our broadcast for today.
Yes, I want to address briefly the sister, what she was saying. What was you saying, sister, about bringing the scriptures to the farm? Was you saying something like that?
Yeah, the children and families. We used to, our churches and our Muslim communities used to every week take us to the farm so that we can apply scriptures and to visit the graves of our ancestors so that we can be inspired and have work ethics And that's what I thought would be good, because I tasted the bean pies from a sister named Isla. And those bean pies were so inspiring in taste and so beautiful. I tasted love in them rather than competition. I tasted love. And I was wondering, if bean pies come from the farm like McDonald's foods, why we can't bring the children to the farm?
We are off the air.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank all of you. We'll have to end the show now. Tune in again next Sunday at 10:30.
Everybody's business. Yeah. Not living in there, Mary, right? That was when he was in there with Deborah. Dolores.
Yeah, that wasn't supposed to be her. That was not Dolores.
Not Denver.
Because she was in there with Dolores first. I mean, all the pictures I got is of him and Dolores and Medina on the porch.
Oh.
And on the video. And then they're arguing because he didn't marry Tatiana because she's Muslim, not Dolores. So where are we going? Where do we end this thing? Where do we end it? Because it didn't start with us. It started with Malcolm. You know, before Malcolm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Malika, you can see her. She saw her. And she saw her dad get killed. So this baby was her dad with her mom. They wanted her with the white woman on the movie. That was so true. His mom is part white. So where do we end it? Where do we children end it? Because some of the baby can't because they both together. They're in the grave. You see what I'm saying? That's the way it goes with our family. And we're trying to stay put so we can work with the children. Children and family vehicles. Huh?
Malika.
Malika is Malcolm's daughter.
Oh,
my. She's a twin, and she looks like Nayula. Her and her twin sisters. And Minister Farrakhan has twin daughters, Donna and Maria.
Mm-hmm.
They're not with their husbands. Her husband's in the grave. He looked like he might have babies. They thought I was married to him because he looked so much like my husband. You know? It was hard. You know, we can keep trying to stay put for the children. You know, I just said, every time I go to Chinatown, you see Chinatown, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses, they stand down there every day, you know, with their little Bible stand with their magazines on it that's free, and it's pictures of the whole family, mother, father, and child. Well, that's who's down there, mother, father, and children standing there to answer questions about their faith and giving out their literature, like I asked us to do, but they did it. You see what I'm saying? And then I asked on the radio, how do we live the life of Abraham and Sarah if Abraham put Hagar to Mecca and Sarah to Hebron? But you know those two cities are sacred cities, but they're 500 miles apart. Imam Bey, he put me to Connecticut so that Latifah could be happy with him in Richmond. She was trying to kill me so that she could have him to herself. And look what happened to her. She ended up dying. You see what I'm saying? But the children can't grow up with this. You talk about my children being younger than this child, going through this every day. And then the sisters are saying that my children have a house for me to stay in. I said, yeah, they might have a house for me to stay in. But the very one question to me that was put out of her house by her children. Because the government came and took her house. She lived right next door to the masjid. And they dominated her to sell the house. And they took the money, and now she's living in a cramped up apartment with her in D.C., with her children. We're pioneers, and we're just like the Jews in Israel. They didn't want their children to come to America to get a college degree and marry outside their faith and not come back to Israel. And that's what they're trying to do, is hold down the fort of Israel, their part of their history, to without clashing with the Palestinians. Palestinians and Israelites are cousins, you know, by way of Ishmael and whatever. But we are too. But their problem is our problem. We're going through the same thing back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
It's no different. You know, we can't get the families to come to church together. You don't know how that hurts to see you two go in the church without a daddy. Because why? The daddy is on the cross. But where is he? Dead. Christian daddies are supposed to die, you know. And that's why we protested to take that down.
Mm-hmm.
We said we don't mind leaving the cross up there, but take the human off of it.
Yeah.
So their children's psychology, right.
Yeah.
So their psychology, we didn't either.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have that crap. My father didn't like it. He wouldn't go to church because he didn't go in the church to see a human male up there or a human effigy up there.
Yeah, scary.
It is scary. And can you do with that, repeating that image in your mind to the child?
Mm-hmm.
That cripples their mind, makes them live on a crutch. So I'm trying to say, look, everybody go to church with the family out of the house together.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jehovah's Witness. They stand downtown. Their teenage and adult sons and wives, mom and dad,
mm-hmm.
you know, with their faith, you know. And that's the way we want to see us live in the garden, you know. And I said, now, I can't fix a marriage, and I can't put one together, and I can only just be an example.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm an example to the children. Who going to listen to Umi? She can't fix nothing. What does she know? I said, well, you know what? I said, I don't have a problem fixing it, but I need help. I can't go out and cut down the tree and put the wood pieces together, you know, by myself. But I got the parts in there where I can carry. You want to help me? No. So I don't pay attention to them because they're not helping me. They're just killing me like they did to Jesus. You see the Jesus by yourself. They don't even have Mary and Martha by your side. They don't have Joseph by your side on the wall. You understand me? In some churches, they just pick you apart. And I say, well, if your religion is so right, and I've been in it, I'm still in it, and you still don't do right by it, and I got this book, and I don't want to die no more. I tried to kill myself before I got this book. I was 15. I tried to drink bleach to go be with Jesus because nobody would help me. But I don't have that no more. That's right, because I didn't know death, but I'm looking at the world and how to go in and out of life. Because that's what they keep purporting. You go to church, Jesus died, Jesus died. Oh, when is he going to live? You know, I won't never see him at the amusement park. I won't never see him at a picnic. All he is just up there bleeding. I can see that, go to the hospital. I don't want to be a nurse. I wanted to be a midwife nurse. I don't want to be a nurse going around looking at people in the hospital bed like I did when I was a veteran, when often the veterans entertained them in Dayton in the hospital with no legs, you know, coming from war. And their daddy, no family. No family. They lay in there wishing they could die. And I'm singing, 5'2", eyes are blue, and they sit up and they listen and they hate it for me to leave. They hate it for us to leave. My little classroom. Yes. Mm-hmm. My little classroom. I was only in elementary. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was there. They still send me stuff. You know, the disabled veterans from Cincinnati and New Hampshire. I didn't go to the veterans meeting yesterday because I was listening at the Martin Luther King Library to Malika. I've never seen my cousin. She's related to us, and I told her, I said, well, I wish our family, you know, we go through this, you all go through this, we can't even come together. I want to know why she don't come to the mosque where her dad taught in 1963. He taught there for 8 months. They never come there. And then she talked to the white woman because they get ready to take over the radio station, WPFW. Mm-hmm. So the black people, they don't have a radio station, WPFW. So Nafisa's daughter works there. So this other group came, took it over, going to make it classical.
Well, Nafisa is the one that does the it was sitting next to, not the one next to you, but the one